أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على
صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على محمد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Looking at the companions of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, being in the month of Ramadan, the month of taqwa, the month of ibadah, the month of istighfar, the month where we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so important for us to remember Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Hinama نتذكر عن أمير المؤمنين سلام الله عليه وأنه هو الوحيد الذي سعى والذي اتبع الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حق الاتباع نريد أن ننظر إلى أصحاب الإمام أمير المؤمنين سلام الله عليه الذين يسمون بالشيعة حيث نحن نسمي أو نعرف بالشيعة فعلينا أن ننظر إلى حياتنا اليومية لنقارن أو لنجد درسا من أولئك شيعة الخلص حتى نقول أننا حقيقة على سير علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام حينما واحد ينظر إلى قائمة الشيعة أو شيعة علي بن أبي طالب هناك أسماء تظهر أمامه وهذه هي الأسماء التي نريد أن نتكلم حولها أو حول هذه الشخصيات حتى نتعلم من حياتهم تلك الدروس القيمة والتي نستفيد بها إن شاء الله في حياتنا اليومية اليوم أريد أن أتكلم حول شخصية مهمة وهي مشهورة ألا وهو بلال بن رباح مؤذن الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الله وسلم My dear brothers and sisters, the way we say in our fast night that we need to look at the followers of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen in order for us to establish that those people who are known as Shia of Ali bin Abi Talib, they qualify to be known as Shia. It's not easy for someone to be known as Shia and for him to endure those problems, calamities, difficulties, and for him to remain as a Shia. So we started our night with Ammar bin Yasir. We ended with his story yesterday. And today we need to look at another personality, very famous one, and that is Bilal bin Rabah. His story is one of the powerful stories in the history of Islam. Because you look at someone from nowhere, he was nothing. Then after admitting that he was nothing, he didn't have anything at all. All of a sudden, because of Islam, he became someone so special. We read the ayah in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah number 49 in the Holy Quran, ayah 13, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhal nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير This ayah is very clear that we have this ayah by itself the ayah is madrasa the ayah is an institution The ayah which can change our societies. The ayah is there, but the question is, are we practicing based on the teaching of this ayah? Do we apply the teachings of this ayah in our societies and in our daily lives? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah number 49, ayah 13, he says, all mankind, all human beings, surely we, here we means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we here is the we which shows respect. Allah is alone, but he says, we have created you, mankind, male and female, and made you nations and tribes, that you may know one another. The reason why we have different colors, the difference is not to say, I am better than you, and you are inferior, I am superior. No, not at all. Allah says, the difference of your colors, the difference of you being in a different tribe and nationality, is only for you to recognize one another, to know one another, not to belittle one another. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely the noblest of you, in the sight of Allah, is the best in conduct. Surely Allah is knowing, aware. This ayah is so important that other people who do not have religion, they don't follow any religion, or they follow what so-called religions, they don't have such a powerful ayah in their so-called books. When they come to find this ayah in the Holy Quran, they say, Wallah, you have everything, we have nothing. And this is barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذه الآية الكريمة هي بنفسها مدرسة هي بنفسها مؤسسة هذه الآية ممكن أن تغير المجتمع بسبب هذه الآية الوحيدة الموجودة في القرآن الكريم لكن المشكلة أو القضية ليس أننا عندنا هذه الآية في القرآن الكريم هل نحن نتعامل مع هذه الآية في حياتنا اليومية أو لا؟ هل نحن نسير اتباع هذه الآية أو لا؟ هذه هي القضية المهمة. هناك كثير من الناس لا يتبعون دين الإسلام وليس عندهم مثل هذه الآية في كتبهم. حينما يجدون هذه الآية في القرآن الكريم هم بأنفسهم يعترفون أن الإسلام هو الدين الصحيح لأن في مفاهيم ودروس الإسلامية هناك مثل هذه الآية ليس القضية أو ليست القضية أنا لأنني مثلا إفريقي وأنت عربي أو إيراني أو أوروبي معناه أنا أفضل منك ليست هذه القضية الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم يعني الأساس هي التقوى وليس لون البشر أو اللغة أو القومية أو القبيلة أو ما شابه ذلك نحن عندنا هذه الآية كلما نتذكر أن الآية في القرآن الكريم علينا أن نغير أساليبنا تجاه الآخرين لماذا؟ لأن الله جل العلا هو الذي يقول إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم فالميزة هنا مبنية على التقوى لا على شيء آخر When we look at the story of Bilal ibn Rabah, we find that this is one of the most powerful stories in Islam. Since number one, it talks about the people who are inferior in the world who are known as black people. So it talks about that issue. Which today in Islam, alhamdulillah, we don't have that problem of blacks and whites. Maybe except for few people who are not aware about Islam. We come to know that here in America, there was a time when people used to be sold, purchased and sold, killed, and no one would care. There are some banks in this world, like, for example, Barclays Bank, The bank wasn't there before, but the bank was established because of the money which was gained by selling people. And today we have Barclays Bank, for example, in UK. People don't know the history of that. So when you look at the story of Bilal, you come to know that a particular group of people were made as slaves to be sold and bought. Yes, we understand other people as well, for example, in other parts of the world were sold and bought like any other merchandise. So the story of Bilal tells us about the particular group of people in the world. Slavery in Islam. We find that in Islam, unfortunately, non-Muslims, it's easy for them to point a finger at Islam saying that this is the religion which deals with slaves. But however, we are telling them that Islam is not feeling any shy to say, yes, there was a time people used to buy one another, sell one another, but Islam doesn't encourage that. While Islam is the religion which says there are some penalties if you do, tahrir raqaba is one of the issues which you need to do. If you are God's slave, free them for the sake of Allah. You look at the history of Rasulullah, you find that he used to be given slaves, young people, he used to train them and then free them. For example, the issue of the Sahaba, Usama bin Zayd, is very clear. And we find his story in the history of Islam that the Holy Prophet did not encourage this particular exercise. Our A'imma alayhi wasalam, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, Allah used to free slaves because he said you cannot have slaves in you, your house or within your compound, you enjoy and they don't. Amirul Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, you look at his life, you wonder why there were so many followers of Amirul Mu'mineen who are not Arabs. Yes, there was a big number of Arabs. But if you look at the life of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen when he moved to Iraq, many people who followed him were Mawali. Why? Because he treated them better than compared to other people who are so-called Muslim leaders. The story of Bilal tells us about the story of Adhan, the history of Adhan. Well, I wonder sometimes when we talk to other people, they say Adhan started by a dream of someone. A companion of Rasulullah saw in his dream that someone is wearing green cloth and he saw him having two bells. And he said, what are you doing with these bells? He said, these are the bells which I use to call people. He said, maybe we can use this as a tool to call people for salah. Can you imagine that if the adhan wouldn't be there, people would call us to go for salah by ringing the bells? And then he comes to the Holy Prophet to say, Ya Rasulullah, I saw this particular dream, and another one saw someone being blowing on the what you call a horn, kind of, in order for him to call people to adhan. And the Holy Prophet had to listen to them, which one is okay, and then the issue of adhan was established. This is a fabricated story. Because when you look at the life of the Holy Prophet, you come to know that he went for Isra and Mi'raj. There, he had adhan. There, he was told that this is the way you call people. And in the morning, he taught Bilal how to do the adhan. We, as followers of Ahlul Bayt, when we talk about Bilal ibn Rabah, we talk about the history of adhan, which is very important. You talk about sincerity and taqwa. That Bilal was so close with Rasulullah because of his sincerity. Even though he was a black ex-slave, but Rasulullah made him to be so close because of his sincerity and taqwa. When we talk about the story of Bilal, we talk about legacy. You and me, brothers and sisters, when we die, how people are going to remember us is so important. what kind of a legacy we are leaving behind. Will people remember us with khair? Because today, whenever we make adhan, we say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we remember Bilal. You and me, how are we going to be remembered in this world? So you can see his story is so important. That كلما نذكر قصة بلال هناك دروس وعبر كثيرة من ضمنها قصة الأذان يعني نحن هذا الأذان حينما نسمع الأذان نذكر بلال بالخير حتى رأيت واحد من زملائنا هو من أهل العراق كلما يقرأ الأذان يقول يرحم على بلال ويقرأ سورة الفاتحة إلى روحه هذا جيد والله لماذا؟ لأنه ترك شيئا مهما. هذا الرجل الذي لم يكن شيئا مذكورا قبل الإسلام دخل في الإسلام والرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم جعله أن يكون من أقربائه. هذا الرجل الذي كان من الخلص كثير من الناس أرادوا أن يقوم حتى يقرأوا الأذان ولكن الرسول لم يسمح له لماذا؟ لأنه كان يقول أذان بلال يخرج من القلب أما أذانكم هي لقلقة اللسان شوف التقوى شوف الورع هذا الذي نريد أن ندرس أو أن نتعلم من حياة بلال هو توفي وكلما نسمع أذان نذكره ولكن المهم أنا وأنت حينما نغادر من هذه الدنيا ماذا نترك وراءنا هذا درس مهم when we look at the life of Bilal we see the man before Islam as nothing then his conversion is so important and then we look at Bilal in Medina he is very active after the death of the Holy Prophet you don't see much you don't read much about Bilal but then we come to know that he was a Shia of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. Historians are telling us his full name is either Bilal bin Rabah or Bilal bin Rayah and very famous known as Bilal al-Habashi. The most authentic name is Bilal bin Rabah. He was a son of two slaves. Father Rabah, according to most historians, they say he was an Arab. His mother was from Habasha. But he was born in Mecca. So he grew up in that city at the time when people used to worship idols. Bilal didn't like that. Because he was raised in Mecca and he knew each and everything in Mecca, eventually he ended being he himself as a slave. When you look at the slaves who were at Mecca at that time, you see a big number of people from Habasha. Including Al-Wahshi, the one who killed Hamza, and many others were there because why? They were so dedicated, hard-working people. You look at the story of Bilal, you come to know that he was a slave of Umayyah bin Khalaf. This evil man, Bilal used to work for him, and he used to graze camels. Because of his sincerity and hard-working, Umayyah mistreated him, but at the same time, he used to make him be closer to him that he didn't want his job to be taken by any other person. We find that while Bilal was living in Mecca, knowing all A, B, C, D of idols and their worship in the time of Jahiliyyah, he came to learn about Islam from Rasulullah, that Rasulullah is teaching about al-adala wal-musawat, that Rasulullah is teaching people about justice and equality. Bilal looking at himself that me being a slave and African here in Mecca, I don't have anyone to look for my affairs, he accepted Islam. Umayyah bin Khalaf tortured him. You look at the way he was tortured. It was a terrible experience. He was dragged in those alleyways of Mecca. He was flogged. He was made to starve for a few days. Why? because they wanted him to denounce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to follow the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Bilal. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Always Bilal was saying, Wahid or Ahad, Allah is Wahid, Allah is Ahad. This was his way to say that whatever you are going to do to me, I will not accept your way. Until the Holy Prophet talked to the people who were near him. According to the famous narration, it says that Al-Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah, he was the one who went to purchase to free Bilal. And he did so. Another narration says Abu Bakr, but the famous one is that Al-Abbas went and freed him from Umayyah bin Khalaf. When he was free, he became so active at the service of Islam, and he became a very good Muslim. The time of Hijrah came, he migrated with Rasulullah to Medina, and there you can see the star of Bilal being shining when the Holy Prophet appointed him as Mu'addin of Rasulullah. Being a Mu'addin of Rasulullah, you come to learn that all the Salah, Bilal used to do Adhan for almost 10 years with Rasulullah. 5 times a day, you hear his voice calling people to Salah. You wonder why? While other people became Muslims who were the evil one who used to torture the slaves, Rasulullah, it was as if he was telling them that, listen, Islam will honor you because of taqwa, not because of your skin color, not because of this and that. Bilal, the way they mistreated you as slave before Islam, you need to become their master, call them to come for Salah, whether they like it or not. And this was the way. And Rasulullah one day, he came to the masjid. He asked, Bilal, why you didn't say Adhan? He said, Ya Rasulullah, they have said Adhan. He said, come Bilal, stand up, do Adhan. And he did so. When he finished, he explained, Bilal, their Adhan is coming from the mouth and it ends there. But your Adhan reaches the sky because it comes from the heart. This is the sincerity which people came to know. Now, when people used to know that the relationship between Rasulullah and Bilal is so special, they couldn't do anything. You look at Bilal in the Battle of Uhud, you look at Bilal in the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, when they were fighting against Quraysh, Bilal came to see Umayyah bin Khalaf in one corner, and he said, Allahu Akbar. You used to mistreat me. Now because you are fighting against Islam, I'm ready to revenge. And he killed him because of Islam. It was Bilal who was so close with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, that all the time, whenever the Holy Prophet, for example, wanted to distribute money to the poor people, he used to give that task to Bilal because he trusted him. And this made Bilal to be so close with Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. After the death of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Bilal was so sad because Rasulullah wasn't there. He was close to Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that's why he's known as Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He didn't give bay'ah to the first and the second and the third Khalif because he was with Amir al-Mu'mineen. And we know that he was taught to give Adhan. Unfortunately, when you look at the books of history, they don't mention this particular issue. They would say, we don't know much about the history of Bilal after the death of Rasulullah. It is because the same Jahiliyyah, which were there at the same time of Jahiliyyah, when the Holy Prophet was propagating Islam, almost the same Jahiliyyah came back again in different shape and form. Bilal was taught to give Adhan, and the way he saw mistreatment from people, he said, I'm not going to do Adhan anymore. And it was one day, just one day, when Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha wanted to remember her father, she asked Bilal to do Adhan. And Bilal came. As you know, the Masjid al-Nabawi, the houses of Ahlul Bayt, the house of Lady Fatima, and Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, the door, if you open it, you enter the masjid. Bilal was giving the adhan. And Lady Fatima had that adhan. When she had the adhan, she started crying a lot. And people had to come to run to Bilal to say, Bilal, stop the adhan, please. Not because of any negative. Because if you continue to recite the adhan, you are going to kill the daughter of Rasulullah, Fatima to Zahra, salamullahi alayhi. Because she remembered Rasulullah when she had the adhan of Bilal. And from that time, Bilal said, I will not do adhan anymore because I don't want to cause any trouble to anyone. You look at Bilal, after the death of the Holy Prophet, the first Caliph ruled for 2 years. Bilal was in Medina. But then the mistreatment continued. And when the second Khalifa came, Bilal decided to migrate from Medina to Syria, either for 2 reasons. Number one, he heard that there was a way to propagate Islam there, and many people did not know him, and he decided to go there. Or, for the second reason, because there was this call for jihad, Al-Futuhat, and he decided to join the Muslim army, and he ended up in Syria, and he lived there until when he died in the year 20 AH. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen died in the year 41 AH. So Bilal died before the death of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. Now when you look at his life, you look at his history, you find that our ulama, the scholars of Shia, they give credit to Bilal. For example, Allama Al-Hilli, in his book Khulasatul Usul, he says that in looking at the life of this particular companion of Rasulullah, you see Rajulun Thiqa. وَلِهَذَا السَّبَبُ Allama Al-Hilli يعده من الثقات يعني إذا صاح الحديث أو إذا روي الحديث وكان بلال من ضمن السند الحديث علام الحل يقول هذا حديث صحيح لأنه مروي عن الثقات وبلال رجل ثقة نفس الشيء تراه عند المامقاني في رجاله يعود من رجال المامقاني بلال واحد منهم وكذلك المجلسي المجلسي في بحار الأنوار وفي كذلك كتاب الوجيزة يقول أن بلال من الممدوحين إذا روى الحديث المجلسي يأخذ هذا الحديث. Now when you look at our scholars, you come to know that they scrutinize the people who narrate hadith. When you mention the name Bilal, they will make the name of Bilal as one of the people who are known as trustworthy, thiqa. Why? Because he never lied. Why? Because it's easy to rely on his hadith. Why? Because he was with the Holy Prophet, he was with Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. That's why Allama Al-Hilli, in his book, which deals with the narrators of hadith, he mentions the name of Bilal as one of the trustworthy people. Another famous scholar, Al-Mamaqani, in his book Rijal al-Hadith, he mentions the name of Bilal being one of the people who is reliable. If you see the name of Bilal in the chain of narrators of Hadith, you take it without any problem. Allama al-Majlisi, in his book Al-Wajiza, he mentions the name of Bilal as one of the people who don't have problems in his hadith. Now you look at the legacy of Bilal. Adhan is so important. Brothers and sisters, I have an issue. Sometimes within our communities, you may find some people who don't know how to read adhan. It doesn't mean that they don't know the word, it's not. Reciting the adhan. They say people in Syria, the way they do adhan is because they copy this way from Bilal. You know the merits of adhan. You know the fadail of adhan. If you look at Kitab, for example, Mizan al-Hikmah, Sheikh Muhammad Ray Shahri has mentioned Fada'il al-Adhan minha kasbur risk. Minha إذا واحد مثلا ليس عنده أولاد وصار ديدنه أن يقرأ الأذان مرارا وتكرارا قال الله يرزقه الأولاد. Adhan is so special that if you know the merits of Adhan, you would make it a special thing to do. In the secrets of Adhan, number one, it brings risk. You go to a new house, you recite the Adhan, shayateen will be chased away out of that house. You recite Adhan in your house and you don't have children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may bestow upon you children. Look at this in Mizan al-Hikmah. You can see the merits of this way of reciting Adhan. And when you recite Adhan, you are with Allah and Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The person who calls the Adhan has got a lot of thawab because you are calling people to go to the masjid. And that's why we read in Surah Al-Jum'ah, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا. نُودِيَ هِيَ نِدَى بِمَعْنَى الْأَذَانِ إِذَا أُذِّنَ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So you see the merits of Adhan. When we talk about Bilal, we remember him because he left this legacy which is so important in our daily lives. Now, when we talk about this particular subject, we talk about it because we know that Islam is a religion which is not based on wealth, not based on nationality, not based on race of a person, but Islam is based on piety, sincerity, and devotion to Allah. When people talk about pluralism, we can say without any doubt that Islam is a religion of pluralism. Why? Because you see Rasulullah as an Arab. You see Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen as an Arab. You see Bilal as an African. You see Salman as a Persian. You see Suhaib as a Roman. All these people are giving us those flowers of Islam, which alhamdulillah, we can see within our community here in Salt Lake City, that we have people from different tribes and nations coming together under the banner of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliyullah. Ikhwani wa akhawati, hayat Bilal tu'allimuna al-kathir al-kathir. يعني اليوم كثير من المجتمعات يعاني بالمشاكل خصوصا بما يتعلق في مسألة القومية والعنصرية. يعني هذا مرض حقيقة. قصة بلال تذكرنا على أننا ليس لنا أي فضل أمام الله إلا بالتقوى. هذا الرسول العربي القرشي يأخذ بلال يجعله مؤذنا، يثق به، يعطيه الأموال لكي يوزع للناس. أهل البيت عليهم السلام يحبونه. لماذا؟ لأنه كان رجل ثقة، رجل مخلص، أخلص لله ولرسوله. ولهذا ترك تراث. كلما نسمع الأذان اليوم نذكر بلال. وهذه قضية مهمة جدا، قضية الأذان. إخواني وأخواتي، خصوصا الأخوات، إذا عند يعني في البيوت أولاد، علموهن أو علموهم كيف يقرؤون الأذان، لأن في أذان هناك فضائل كثيرة. وسوف يقولون إن شاء الله أولئك الذين يدعون إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهناك فضل كثير لهذا الرجل الذي يؤذن. وكما ذكرنا، إذا قرئ الأذان في بيوتنا حتى في الأوقات غير الصلاة، الملائكة تحضر أو يحضر الملائكة هذا البيت، والشياطين يفرون من هذا البيت. وهناك فضائل كثيرة مذكورة في كتب الأحاديث. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى، ويسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى to increase our sustenance, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ اللَّهُمَّ سَهِّلْ لَنَا مَا نُرِيدُ وَنَجِّنَا مِمَّا نَخَافُ بِفَضْلِكَ يَا لَطِيفُ اللَّهُمَّ لَا سَهْلَ إِلَّا مَا جَعَلْتَهُ سَهْلًا وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحُزْنَ إِنْ شِئْتَ سَهْلًا فَاجْعَلْ أُمُورَنَا كُلَّهَا سَهْلًا اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَكِلْنَا إِلَى أَنْفُسِنَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ أَبَدًا برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم
صل على محمد. At the end we ask all the believers to recite Surah Al-Mubarakah Al-Fatiha for all our marhumin, but before that loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد.